You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We continue looking at what could have been the budget speech to be tabled by Minister Enoch Godongwana this afternoon. That was postponed, and we're going to continue to get some thoughts around some of the pronouncements that may or may not have made it into the speech. Joined on the line by founder and director at Kariska Consulting, Kaya Sotole, to take a look at where we stand now. Good evening, Kaya. Lovely to catch up with you as always. I think my first question is, was this a masterful chess move? Thinking back to the history of the Government of National Unity, there was objection and protest to the ANC's signing of the NHI, of the expropriation bill. Was this the right time for other members within the Government of National Unity to come out and say, we'll actually show you that you're no longer in charge as you thought you may have been?
Well, I think there is definitely an element of the political optics that plays into everyone's hands, except, of course, the ANC, which was leading that particular process. And the political optics are that now all these other parties on the campaign trail next year can argue that we tried to protect him from the ANC, and the ANC decided to punish the poor through a VAT increase, because inevitably we're going to end up with a VAT increase, whether it's 1% or 2% is what they'll be deliberating on over the next couple of weeks. And also, more dangerously, if they don't do it now, it will simply cost more to do it later, because the process that led us here was based on a universal acknowledgement that there is an imbalance between the resources that we have in terms of revenue versus the commitments that we've made. And in fact, this speech was supposed to come with a new range and a new series of commitments, and commitments have to be funded. So up until now, we've been funding them through debt, and now everybody's agreed that we have essentially overborrowed ourselves. So the short-term solution is that you borrow more, but the problem is that you're still going to have to come back and face the fact that you're going to have to find some tax relief in one way or another. And that's the conversation that has been delayed for a very long time. To the advantage of the ANC, because it is now a conversation that the other parties cannot disown, whatever the solution is, they will then struggle to argue that they were not part of the process, whichever process gets eventually signed off. So there's an element of that, and there's also the economic hard reality that is now facing all of us.
Kaya, you touched on the fact that the numbers just don't balance. The math is not mathing. We are not creating enough revenues or bringing in enough revenue to justify the expenditure. But at the same time, when you have a look at just the general sentiments around the budget speech and what we could have potentially heard around things like the social relief for distress grant, the support provided to the elderly, and the grant conversation in general, that doesn't suggest that we're slowing down on expenditure at all. In fact, expenditure is set to increase, and we're going to the World Bank to borrow some more money there. We're not really addressing the austerity side of the budget, are we?
Yeah, we are not. And I think the reality here is that the ANC for a very long time has taken the easy way out of difficult conversations. And in fact, even the social relief for distress grant, it's something that they have stumbled into on the basis of COVID, and then they cannot let go of it on the basis that, well, there'll be a huge consequential fallout amongst the members of society that have become dependent on it. Ultimately, it all comes down to a simple question of how do you reduce the incidences of dependency? And you can only do that through an economy that is growing. So the ANC has not mastered a blueprint for growing the economy. So therefore, what it's done is that it's engaged in policy patchwork over many, many years. But obviously, if whatever policy you have and however well-intended those policies are, resources are required to fund every single policy. And the problem here is that we don't have a funding model for a state of the size and the commitments that we keep making to the voters, and now we have to deal with the reality of that.
Today's postponement was a glaring admission almost by the respective powers, whoever they may be, that this was poorly planned and poorly managed, because one could very easily argue that the engagements with other members of the Government of National Unity and other stakeholders, those engagements should have taken place before tabling the speech. They should not have been left to the 11th hour, and as a result of that, that is the outcome. What are your thoughts on that?
No, it cannot be true, because what happens is that the process of putting together a national budget takes months to complete. In fact, it starts with the convening of a ministerial committee on the budget, which is made up of many stakeholders. That is the first issue. The second issue is that, well, actually, within the economic cluster, you've got representatives from other political parties, whether the DA has a deputy minister or another party has a deputy minister. And these people would have been aware or alert to the reality of what was to come. And at every single stage of the budget preparation process, there's always a question of what are the permutations, what are the scenarios. No one goes through months of preparing a budget without answering the simple question of where the money is going to come from. So the awareness was there. Whether people then thought that there was going to be some magical retreat at the last minute to a number that has clearly been well ventilated, that is a surprising thing. But of course, that's where the political games come in, because then you could simply say that even though we were outvoted ultimately in the GNU, whatever structure that is, this was our position. So by using the theatrics and the pageantry of parliament today, you make it very clear and very explicit to everyone that your position is, even if you're going to ultimately sign up for it. It won't be what collapses the GNU, but it will be what enables the parties to keep arguing that they've retained their sense of identity even within this combined and convoluted structure.
Kaya, what do these developments mean for the global stage and for South Africa's global positioning? I spoke to Adrian Saville earlier around the tensions that exist between South Africa and the United States, amongst other countries. And obviously, with a speech like, or a delay like this to the budget speech, the markets have been reacting a certain way. How do we kind of reconcile the positioning of this from a political point of view, but also from an economic point of view?
Absolutely no link. The important thing here is that what we saw today is something that we actually should have seen over many years. The problem that we've had over a 30-year period is that the ANC has always enjoyed an open corridor in terms of policymaking, which simply means that when you have a more than 50% majority, all you have to do is table the budget, which is the proposal. People deliberate and vote on it, and then ultimately your will prevails anyway. So what that has done is that it has occasionally led to us making suboptimal policy decisions on the basis that, well, it doesn't matter how loud they are, we're still going to get it across the line. That is the problem with an open corridor policy to decision making. What this does is that it says that every single public policy decision has to be ventilated, the permutations have to be understood before we sign it off. So it's in fact something that should have been happening much more frequently, and it doesn't happen. And I think also what is particularly problematic about money bills in South Africa is that, again, because the ANC had an open policy corridor, there has never been any rejection of a proposal. In fact, today was not actually a budget. It was meant to be a budget proposal. The budget proposal gets debated and then gets voted on. For 30 years, we haven't actually learned any integrity to that process, because we all ultimately knew what the answer was. So I'm a big fan of a situation like today. And I think what those international observers will see is that they will see that, well, it's actually becoming a lawmaking and a policymaking process that is more robust than what it used to be before. And that means that there will be better decisions made ultimately, even if you have to deal with the pains of the protocol and the processes being a bit elongated.
Kaya, are we saying that from here on out there are opportunities to learn and grow and come back stronger, provided that we can learn from this experience and actually make the necessary adjustments?
Yeah, and I think the most important takeaway from this is that voters are now going to be more actively engaged in the process of interrogating how decision-making happens. Again, had this been an ANC that had unilateral decision-making powers, and they come and they say VAT is moving from 14% to 15%, people would have said, okay, the government has decided so. Without interrogating, on what basis do you make this call, and what were the permutations, and then deciding that, look, I think this is something fundamentally important enough to me for it to be a basis for decision-making the next time I go to the ballot box. So you're going to see a lot of people articulating what their position is, and voters being able to understand that, oh, actually, when you said no, what did you propose? And it sounds like I like what you propose, so therefore, at the next opportunity where I can endorse you, I will do so. So you end up with a process where people are more vigilant about how this process is compared to the open corridor that we had, where ultimately whatever the ANC wanted was going to become law of the land.
We did say this was going to be a historic budget for the Government of National Unity, and even though the budget itself wasn't delivered, the history was. We'll leave the conversation there. Thanks so much, Kaya, for those insights and for the time. Kaya Sotole, Director and Founder at Kariska Consulting, joining us to take a look at the postponement of today's budget speech and what that means for the political landscape as well as potentially the economic landscape of South Africa.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.